Welcome to Let's Talk About Chris, Baby, the weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and everything with geek. My name's Jambler, and I'll be your host.
Listeners, hello. Welcome to episode 47. I'm going to jump right in and start this week. I want to talk about unreasonable doubt. So unreasonable doubt, for the purposes of this podcast, is when you doubt your own abilities incorrectly or wrongly, whether it's imposter syndrome or just underestimating your own abilities and not having the confidence in your abilities and skills, which could be due to inexperience, whether that be inexperience as a tester as a whole or inexperience to the project or the technology or company that you're at. And sometimes this can be a good thing. Doubt about a skill set you have can be motivated to learn more and become better, but it could also be detrimental, holding you back when you have no need to doubt your abilities whatsoever and you can go and do stuff, but you don't feel you can, so you don't. So I have and do experience both types of these kind of unreasonable doubt, and I think you can tell the difference. For me personally, I can tell the difference between imposter syndrome and just feeling, just doubting my abilities. And imposter syndrome is a much wider, diffuse anxiety. It's everything I am and everything I do in my professional career, in the professional world. It's the place I've carved out for myself. I doubt that it should even exist, never mind whether or not it does exist. Whereas if I doubt myself about a specific project or technology, it's a very specific weakness. And I still feel the dread that people are going to realise that I don't know anything, but it's about one specific thing. It's not a diffuse, everything I am is a fake. And I do think they are slightly different, which is why I want to separate them out. Even if they can both kind of be boiled down to you feel doubt about yourself when you shouldn't, one is a lot more specific than the other. And therefore I think they have different ways of tackling it up to a point. So I'm going to start with the fear that comes with being new or inexperienced or both. First of all, I read a brilliant blog post this week about being a dumb girl in computer science. It's really good. It's at its core, it's about saying loudly, "I don't understand," and how people come together and help each other out. It's more specifically about saying that in an industry or an area where you are a minority, which is a whole different kettle of fish than saying, "I don't understand," when you're the majority in that area or in that industry. And it's really good and it's really inspiring, and I think you should all go read it. Because asking questions is really important. It's really hard, because it does feel like showing weakness, and it does feel like you are being an idiot. But everyone has been where you are, and a lot of us still are. I say us, I definitely am. So are a lot of other people. Because the world of testing, and pretty much every sphere of professional life, huge. There's no way you can know everything about everything in your professional area. It's just impossible. And it can have the cascade effect. If someone can stand up and go, "I'm not sure what this is," it can open doors to other people saying, "I don't know either." And so it becomes this big learning experience that you can go through together. I mean, the areas of the testing community I interact with are generally quite good at helping people out and saying, I don't know what this is. I still have so much to learn." And so I found it quite easy to jump in and say that. And it's something that should be encouraged, I feel, everywhere. Just ask questions all the time, even stupid ones. Especially stupid questions. Because you will get corrected at some point. Through your professional career, you will get corrected on something. You'll get told you're doing something wrong because you will do something wrong. You will. And the more interaction you have with getting that kind of feedback, the easier it becomes to step back and go, okay, well, that person's helping me. If someone's not been a cockwomble, if they've been a cockwomble about it, even if they're right, you can just ignore them. Well, no, you shouldn't. You should take the feedback, you should take the bit that they're right about and absorb that. But if they're being a dick about it, then feel free to never speak to them again. It's fine. But they are helping you out by pointing out that you're doing it wrong. And even if in the moment all you can do is curl up in on yourself and go, nope, this is the worst thing ever, at least try and take it in so afterwards you can stand back and go, actually, they were right, this is what I need to do. If you can do it in the moment, then you can, like, if you can react properly in the moment, you can start a discussion, you can go somewhere with it. And it's kind of like exposure therapy, where you just keep doing the thing that scares you the most till you realise it's not that scary and you can do it, you can cope with it. Again, this pretty much applies to most professional and otherwise spheres and community and stuff. I'm going to bring you back to testing because it's a testing podcast. So if you are new or inexperienced at testing and you are completely overwhelmed, because I am most of the time, you can try focusing. I say that like it's easy. I still haven't decided what I want to focus on. I have no ideas what I want to settle on. I'm very much like a magpie and I'll go, oh, that looks like a shiny thing, play with it and leave it. Much like this podcast. I very rarely sit down and see something through to the end. But if you can find something you can focus on, one or two areas that you can focus on and keep up to date with, you can carve a place for yourself and you can feel more grounded, a bit more deserving of your place in the professional world because you've got something that you know about. And yeah, you might not know about thing over there, but you know about this thing here. And that's fine. And you may have to do some jumping around to find that thing you want to focus on, but you can focus on it. And it doesn't have to be a hard skill. Like, you don't have to be someone who can write huge essays on automate testing or security testing. It can just be stuff in the community. You could just be an organiser or something. Or one of those people that knows people and can kind of just put names together and put groups together and watch the awesome take place. There are so many different areas and different roles, if you like, in a community and in a professional environment you can slot yourself into, that you can find yourself a niche and just sit there and excel at it and be an expert. And then it doesn't necessarily matter that you don't know about whatever type of testing you don't know about. It's fine. And while those strategies will help a lot in overcoming that sort of anxiety about being new and experienced, and they may help with imposter syndrome, I think there are some steps you can take specifically to tackle imposter syndrome. And the first one is talking about it. It's such a key step, and yet it does feel like you're fishing for compliments, I know, but sharing experience is so important because a lot of people suffer from it. Like, almost everyone at some point in their lives has probably suffered from it. And that knowledge and the solidarity that you get from talking to other people will lighten the load a little bit. Studying can help, but while I've just spoken about how professional and personal development is important, if the motivation is to combat imposter syndrome, it's not going to work. It's just going to make you feel worse, because all you're doing is exposing yourself to a load of stuff that you don't know. And it's not going to help with imposter syndrome. It may help with the self-confidence if you are inexperienced, but with imposter syndrome, you can be the best person in the world at what you do. You're still going to think you're terrible at it. So yes, while focusing on an area and building a skill set, especially if you have a deficiency, may help, it may not actually get rid of the imposter syndrome entirely. And this one sounds a bit weird, and I did doubt myself putting it down, but it's helped me a lot, okay? Share things. Tweet and blog or podcast. Because sharing has so many pros. I mean, I'm not talking about sharing personal experience. I mean, just jumping in the community and sharing the things that you've read and the things that you've seen, and writing if you want to write or talk if you want to talk. It feels good, and it helps others as well, and it helps foster the community. If you can blog, it will help you structure your information. I've realised just how much I can actually talk about, and I know, because even though it's only 15 minutes a podcast, that's 500 words. And forcing yourself to structure your thoughts actually really helps. And even if all you can say is, I tried to do this and I failed, that's still useful to share, because failure helps everyone. And people will listen and will interact and will bring you into the community. If you don't want to maintain your own blog, be the curator of awesome things. Comment on people's stuff. Retweet. Become a place people will follow you because you follow all this awesome stuff. Because chances are you'll be reading it anyway. You may as well share it with other people. Note that that information only really counts if you are actually actively reading and stuff anyway. You're listening to this podcast, so I assume you are. Don't take it as a thing like you have to blog or you have to podcast or you have to tweet. You do not have to do those things at all if you don't want to. But if you want to and you're holding yourself back because you don't feel like you deserve to or that you have anything new to add, go for it. Start with retweeting, start with tweeting simple stuff and then move on, because everyone has something new. Because even if you don't have any information, the way you convey it could be different. You could be an amazing storyteller. You could use metaphor and allegory incredibly, but we don't know that. Do not compare yourself to others. Comparisons will kill you slowly. They will. You have no idea what people are choosing to trade off when they do all these amazing things. If someone runs a blog and organises events and talks at all these conferences and puts talks on and webinars and stuff, and outside of that, they're probably an amazing friend who texts you once a week just because and has the neatest house in the world. But what about if that person butters their toast right on the counter and leaves toast wet on the counter in the morning? What if they drink milk straight out of the carton? They probably have a secret love for Sex and the City too. You see the point I'm making here, yes? Most importantly, they probably doubt themselves as well. They have had times, if they don't have times right there, where they're thinking, what am I doing? How am I still being paid to do this? Because I don't deserve it. Promise you at one point something like that's crossed their minds. Okay? Finally, therapy and drugs. I've spoken before about my clinical anxiety, and I've got other friends who have spoken similarly about how that affects their lives and how imposter syndrome affect their lives. Friend of the show, Mike Bell, has a talk I've linked in the show notes about this exact thing. If it is holding you back, if it is affecting your life in a major way, speak out to someone, get some professional help. It could be a larger issue, and you might need a helping hand. You might decide that's the right avenue for you to go down, whether it's therapy or drugs or a mixture of both. Just reach out to someone. People will help you. It's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. The one thing, if you take nothing else away from this episode, is that needing help, whether it's saying I don't understand, whether it's reaching out to community because you have an issue, like an actual work issue, or whether it's reaching out because you have a mental health issue, is nothing to be ashamed of. And people would much rather you do it than you don't. A therapist, the one thing I found my therapist absolutely great for was being an impartial ear, and nothing deflected my jerk brain like having to justify it out loud to someone else and not sound ridiculous. Because most of the time, your jerk brain is being ridiculous. Otherwise, you wouldn't call it a jerk brain. Actually, that wasn't my final point. My final point is be kind. Be kind to yourself and be kind to others, because that will help more than anything else. This is by no means a comprehensive guide, nor is it a guide that may help anyone else other than me. It is sharing some experiences that I have had that have helped me get over things. This shit is hard. Not only is it hard, it will come out of nowhere when you think you've beaten it and it will kick you in the teeth. Some of this will not work for you. I know it won't work for you. Some of you may have listened to this wondering what the hell kind of drugs I'm on and if we can ban them. But I want to just keep a conversation going about this kind of stuff. I've also taken a fair light-hearted approach to this, but I don't want you to mistake that for me making light of this. I know what it's like. I don't know what it's like for you, but I know what it's like for me. If you need to reach out, whether it's to me, to the community, a loved one, a professional, please do. And incidentally, I spend a lot of my time talking about reaching out, but I've never spent any time talking about what to do when someone reached out to you. So over the next couple of weeks, I might put some resources together for that side of it as well. Because even me, I've been the person reaching out and I've had someone reach out to me and I've gone, I don't really know what to say, but I want to be there. So I might put some resources together. If you have any, throw them my way. Let's make a thing, an awesome thing. I hope someone finds this useful. I hope more than one someone finds this useful. And I meant it sincerely. If you need to reach out, please feel free to email me. Even if you've never spoken to me before, that's even better. You can just disappear into the night once you've reached out to me and never talk to me again. That is fine. Okay? Sometimes that makes it easier. Just email the podcast. Leave me a Skype message. Whatever. It is fine. I'm opening my inbox to one offence or a longer back and forth. Let's do this, guys. I can't say that without sounding really sardonic. I don't mean it all. I mean this entirely sincerely. I'm going to shut up now before I can babble forever. Next week will be a shorter episode and it will be actually about testing. I will talk to you later, listeners. Thank you for listening. Let's talk about test.xyz has all the contact details, as always. Bye!